Both of my grandfathers were in World War II. Grandpa O was a medic stationed in China. Grandpa McGlynn was a pilot stationed in England. His job was to take before and after pictures of Nazi-occupied Germany in locations where bombings or fighting had occurred. On Valentine's Day of 1944, he and another pilot were sent to take pictures of Berlin. Grandpa McGlynn's plane was shot down over France. News that he was missing in action reached his hometown of Cazenovia, Wisconsin, about 10 days later. His parents and then fiancée, Grandma Anna, had only words of his courage and skill to offer them any comfort. Grandpa McGlynn was also a skilled storyteller and writer. And so what happened next for him is well recorded in family lore and in books. His eventual return to England at the guidance of the French underground took about 2 months. What is not recorded is Grandma Anna's experience of not knowing if her fiancé was dead or alive. Grandma Anna, raised by stoic parents, was kind and loving and not a sharer of her emotions. I knew her as a devout Roman Catholic, someone who gained strength from her faith and her faith community. I heard stories that she would not marry my Grandpa McGlynn before the war because she didn't want to receive widow's benefits should he die. However, I only knew her as a child, and so I never asked questions about what it was like living with him missing in action. And I'm not sure I can fully imagine what that in-between time of not knowing if she should prepare for his return in their marriage or if she should start mourning his death would have felt like. How did she respond? What was she feeling? With whom did she share her stories, and from where did she get her hope? On this first Sunday of Advent, this is the place from which I enter today's gospel. Right before the passage that we read, Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." He continues that only God the Father knows when this time will be. The angels, they don't know. Jesus, he doesn't know either. In Matthew's tellings of these times, it is the righteous, like Noah, who remain here on earth. The others are taken away by death or by other unnamed forces. Through Matthew's example, we hear that this will occur within everyday life, planting in the field, going about our jobs. And so in our everyday actions, our attention should be pointed toward God. All followers of Jesus must keep watch, keep awake in this in-between time. The hyperbole of Matthew, for who can stay awake at all hours, invites us into the vulnerability of trusting in a God that is greater than us, in trusting in a God that moves in God's own time, and in trusting in a God that is incredibly disruptive. On this first Sunday of Advent, what I really want are the beautiful stories of Mary and Elizabeth, not more apocalyptic text. Yet, if we really dig into even their stories, Mary and Elizabeth's pregnancies both brought disruption, vulnerability, and the in-between time for them as well. Mary was unmarried. Her fiancé considered quietly ditching her. Elizabeth, thought to be barren, was elderly and pregnant in a time in which childbirth was dangerous and killed. Although Advent leads us to a baby's birth in Bethlehem, it is about more than just that moment in the manger. It is about living faithfully in the in-between time, the time in which we know that God walked among us as one of us, and the time in which we hope of God's full inbreaking into our world once again. As followers of Jesus, the story of Advent is our own sacred story. All of us have lived or are living in an in-between time. Some of us have received sobering diagnoses without the news yet of what happens after this. Others have received countless fertility treatments in hope of pregnancy. Others have had their own loved ones stationed far away or had their lands and homes disrupted by war. Others are engaged in discernment. What's next? What job should I take? And even those engaged to be married are in an in-between time. Advent brings these moments to light and asks us to focus them on God. It asks us to ask questions. How do we respond faithfully? What sacred stories do we wrap around ourselves and share? What songs do we sing? Laments? Praise? With whom do we share those stories and with whom do we sing? Advent asks us in these moments to watch and notice where God is moving. Sometimes an action that can take all that we have. In our sacred stories today, we hear Isaiah speaking to a people in Isaiah, a people who have lost their home, their sense of being, and their sense of safety. For them, a return to security would be being back in power. The Jewish people before Jesus' time were waiting for a Messiah like King David, one who was strong, who could lead people into battle, who won. They never imagined that the Messiah would come in the form of a baby born among farm animals, a baby weak, dependent, messy. In today's gospel, Jesus' followers who have been with him for a few years now are still hoping that Jesus is the Messiah in a way that makes sense to them in that time and age. They're hoping that he is still a political leader who is strong and who will wield great power as they understand it. Our gospel is days away from Jesus dying on a cross, a death of shame. Still, in all of these moments, God shows up in unexpected, disruptive, and holy ways. In the first story I told, my Grandma Anna's story, I know that in our in-between times, we are in loving, faithful company. People have walked these journeys before, and they walk them with us. We are not alone. This is the gift of our communion of saints. Grandpa McGlynn did return from World War II, and they married less than 2 weeks later. Still, what we could call a happy ending did not erase the time before. In Isaiah, God points instead to a future of weapons being turned into plowshares, because all nations will be truly at peace. Just imagine that. No one will be on top, all will be equal. The baby in the manger grows into someone we still follow today. Jesus transforms the cross, the sign of shame. He dies for resurrection, and through his resurrection, he shows us that God can truly transform everything. Advent asks us to trust in God's future without knowing the results, to watch, to wait for those moments where God will appear when we don't expect it, and to imagine the myriad ways that God is and will be moving among us and transforming us here on earth.